Yes, God has been so, so good, and we can't overlook his goodness. His mercies endure to all generations, and we just want to bless his name tonight. Just glorify him, because indeed he's worthy. He's worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Amen. Welcome, Nicole. Welcome, Mom. Welcome, Ava, I see Mommy Bright, Emmanuel, still waiting on others to join. Welcome, Sister Terian. Hallelujah. Yes, we're still looking at the topic of salvation. You know, we can't exhaust it. It speaks volume in a believer's life. Salvation speaks volume, and if anybody meet you on the street and need to question you about your faith, they're going to, salvation must comes up. You know, so it's good for us to be equipped to know all that we need to know about salvation, even though we cannot exhaust it. We cannot know everything there is, but know enough to defend the faith. Know enough so you can defend the faith for which you are called. Amen. All right. Before we start, let us pray. Kind, loving, and eternal Father, we give you thanks for this another Bible study night. We empty ourselves before you, mighty God. We decrease so you may increase. Hallelujah. We pray, mighty God, that you will cause us to hear from you in a very special way. We need to hear from you, mighty God. We need a word from you. We want you to come in your glory and in your splendor and deposit in us, mighty God, what you'd have us to learn this hour. Lord, as we are gathered here, we pray, mighty God, that you will meet every need. I pray, mighty God, for Auntie Lynette even now. She's not feeling well, mighty God. She has cold-like flint symptoms, but I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that it won't resonate with her, but Lord, it be removed in Jesus' name. We see in scriptures, mighty God, that even a common fever, that you rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we keep no company with no sickness in Jesus' name. We keep no company with fever, no cold, no cough. We have no lot nor part with them. And therefore, God, from the very appearance of it, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We come against every communication barriers. We pray, mighty God, that this meeting will be audible, that each and everyone will hear, mighty God. There will be no internet problem. There will be no barriers, mighty God. We come against it in the name of Jesus. We speak to every Sambalat and every Tobiah. We say, Lord God, we're doing a good thing here, and we will not come down. We will not relent, but mighty God, we will carry through as long as you give us health and strength. We thank you, mighty God, for all those that are praying for the ministry. We pray a special blessing upon them even now, mighty God. We pray, God, that every need be met as we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes, last week we were looking at a story in the New Testament. Anyone remember what that story was about? Anyone remember the story that we spoke about last week? Was it a blind man? Was it a blind man who Jesus sent to wash? And he went and washed and was well? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Yes, indeed. And we see how salvation plays its role in that story. Amen. We're still looking at our patriarch. I think we're going to look at Jacob. We're going to invite Ava, Sister Ava, to read that excerpt on Jacob tonight. Last week we looked at Isaac, and the week before we looked at Abraham. Yeah, we just want to give you just some guidelines to just whet your appetite a bit so you can further study on these patriarchs of our faith. Amen. So we're looking at Jacob. So Sister Ava, Are you available? Good night, sis. Good night. Amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Ava. Yes, so we listened a bit about Jacob, despite being a trickster, you know, his life was transformed. God really used him, and he, from him came the 12 tribe of Israel. You know, Jacob turned to Israel, his name. You're not seeing anything? Yeah, okay, as long as you're hearing, you're good with that. Maybe give it a little time, it will come back up. Amen. Yes, so despite being a trickster, Jacob was his life was transformed. He had an encounter with God at a fighting right through the night. The Bible says with a man, you know, and he wrestled with him all the way till daybreak. Amen. Yes, so you can continue reading about him in the book of Genesis. All right, tonight we're going to look at St. John chapter 4. It's this story, a well-known story. The story of the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well. You know, it's a very well-known story. If you don't hear it yet, you're going to hear it tonight. You know, and I believe that most of you know that story in St. John chapter 4. So it's common ground. But we just want to see if we can get something out of it to strengthen us tonight. Amen. I'm going to read and I'm going to pause at several of the verses and make some comments. And be free to share as the Holy Spirit leads you. You know, be free to come on and share, interject at any point. This is very informal. It's for our spiritual growth, and it's very informal, so be free to participate. Amen. All right, St. John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must need to go through Samaria. The woman. And then verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to a parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. We just read about Jacob. Something about Jacob. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. So you see, the woman come to the well. She saw Jesus, but Jesus sees initiative to speak with her first. You know, even though she came there, she saw Jesus. She didn't say anything. The Bible said that Jesus said, give me to drink. You know, so he sees initiative. So we as Christians, sometimes we have to seize initiative in order to make a point go forward. You know, in order to let our light shine, we can't just cause a cold shoulder when somebody sees us and don't say hello or don't greet us as we expected. You know, we can't just say maybe they have something against us or whatever. We have to just seize initiative sometimes to say good morning or good evening as it may be, or you know, or greet them. What a beautiful day it is. Find something to make some conversation as a Christian. We can't be just so. Amen. And this story, Jesus and his disciples were heading from Judea to Galilee. That's about 100 miles that Jesus intended to walk by whichever means. Maybe he's riding, maybe he's walking, but it's approximately 100 miles that Jesus is going to go. When he reached in Samaria, he has already just gone about 30 miles from where he started in Judea. He just reached like 30 miles. So he was exhausted then and he was tired walking for 30 miles. He and his disciples and stuff. You know, and commenters would say that Jesus is leaving to avoid the possible trouble with John's disciples. Remember in verse 2, he said John, they were saying that he's baptizing more, making more disciples and baptizing them more than John. So he didn't want a conflict. He didn't want a trouble because there was a growing popularity in his ministry at that time. The Pharisees, they were focusing on him and his growing influence on the people. You know, so Jesus decided to leave Judea and travel north. So he was going up yonder. He left Judea to travel north to avoid the conflict. You know, remember that John the Baptist, he was a forerunner of Jesus, and his word was repent. He speaks repentance. Amen. Yeah, so Jesus didn't want any conflict with him, with he and his disciples and John. And you know, John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin. Amen. They are cousins. Didn't want any conflict with him. So and so with the Pharisees as well. So he left and he head north to avoid the conflict. And the Bible said that he must pass through Samaria. If you look at that map in that era, you realize that he could have gone other way apart from going through Samaria. You know, but the Bible mentioned that he must pass through Samaria. Maybe he had it was a Holy Ghost setup. It was a setup from glory that he must meet with this woman in Samaria. You know, he could have gone when he left there from Judea, he could have gone right and go through another parcel of land there, you know, and avoid going through Samaria. But the Bible said he must go through Samaria. There was a divine connection right there, you know, and he stopped in a town in Samaria called Sychar. You know, and he sat at the well. He sat at the well. It's a very memorial place. Jacob gave it to his son, Joseph, right there. And it was about the 6 hour then. It was about the 6 hour. In the Jewish timing system, the first hour start at 6 o'clock, 6 a.m. in the morning. 6 a.m., that's the first hour. So the third hour would be 9 a.m. and the 6 hour would be 12 noon. So at that time, at the 6 hour, that was 12 noon, the middle of the day. Where the sun was at the highest point, the sun was bright there and then. Amen. And it was at that point too, that when Jesus was on the cross, he gave up the ghost and the whole place became darkness and the earthquake and all of that. And it was at that 6 hour that the veil in the temple was torn and giving us free access to the throne of Almighty God, giving us free access so we can enter his throne room with boldness and to know that he hears us individually. It's not a priest thing again where the priest alone would go behind the veil. We now have access because the veil is torn down and we can make our requests being made unto God individually. Amen. So we because and it happened at that midday hour. All right. And yes, and the Jesus asked the woman for water to drink. This was against the custom of the Jew because they had no dealing with the Samaritans. The Jews, they called the Samaritans an outcast. So they didn't want no dealing with them nor even talk to them. So for Jesus to even choose to walk through Samaria when he could have gone other places, he and his disciples in a Jewish sect, it speak volume. Something is going to happen. Something is going to go down. Because they had no dealing with the Samaritans. Samaritans were outcasts. Amen. And so verse 8, his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jew has no dealing with the Samaritan, as we said. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knowest the gift of God, and who is it that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living waters. Amen. Living waters here in verse 10 is a sim it symbolizes eternal life. Living water is symbol is as the Holy Spirit lives in us as born again believers, that living water that spring up into eternal life would flow. It's a constant reminder to us that out of our belly will flow rivers of living waters. The Old Testament speak of it. Out of our belly, we'll feel the constant flowing, the living water that never run dry. Amen. Verse 11. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? You see, the woman is speaking in the natural realm right here. Because she's thinking that because Jesus said, I will give you living water, that means Jesus must have drawn some water from the well. But Jesus didn't draw any water from it. She said, How comes you draw water from this well? And you have nothing to draw with, and the well is so deep. But she was thinking in the natural, yeah, in the physical sense that way. But Jesus was speaking spiritual, just like when Jesus was speaking with Nicodemus in the earlier on in John. When he said you must be born again, and Nicodemus was saying, Can I be born again, enter my mother's womb a second time? And Jesus said, No. He got it all twisted because he was thinking Yes, he was thinking in natural realm. You know, just like this woman, she was thinking in natural realm. How can Jesus draw this water and the well is deep and he had nothing to draw with? Yes. Verse 12, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, therefore of him and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast five husbands, and he whom that thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saith thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceived that thou art a prophet. You know, stick a pin right there. The woman said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. The woman said, she said this because of what Jesus said in verse 18, in the prior verse, that she had five husbands, and the one that she's with now is not our husband. Maybe somebody else's husband. Yeah, somebody else's people. You know, and you see, we see in this verse what a prophet should be like. You know, the woman said, I perceive that thou art a prophet, that Jesus is a prophet. And a prophet is one who states the facts, not the obvious. You know, that's what a prophet does. They state the facts, not the obvious, not what everybody else could see or whatever anybody else could see. You know, a prophet should be the mouthpiece of God himself. Amen. Tell me that it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. And it work out that way, and I'll say you're a prophet. Just like Elijah. Say, it's not going to rain for a period of time until I say it's going to rain. Tell me that behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son. You know, according to Isaiah. And I will build and it go come to pass, then I believe you. Don't just tell me that you live in Georgia and you're a male and such. Give me the facts. Tell me that I live 1464 Borden Bell Drive. Tell me, you know exactly. And then I say, how can you know these things? You must have been getting have a divine inspiration from God. Don't tell me the obvious. Tell me something that otherwise you would not have known. You know, just like what Jesus did with this woman. She said, Jesus didn't say you had husbands before. He mentioned you had five. He said five. He didn't say just husbands or whatever. He specified five and the one that you're with now. You know? So that one statement that Jesus made, hold the woman. Yeah, it convinced her because how could he have known these things? And not only that, how could he have known these things? But he being a Jew and she's a Samaritan. And remember that the Jew had no dealing with the Samaritan. So it was crossing some cultural barriers right there. And Jesus, who is not coming from, who doesn't live in that area, is coming from like 30 miles away and know everything. Don't know that thing about that woman, know that specific thing. And that woman said that is everything. Yeah, the woman say is everything. He knows everything about me. Because if he knows to the nitty-gritty that she had five husbands, he knows that Correctly so. So the woman said, if he know that, that's one of my deepest secret. And that's one of my deepest secret. If he knows that, then he must have known. He know everything. Yeah. Yes. He knows everything about me. So she said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Amen. Yes. Going down to verse 20. Verse 20. Our fathers worship in the mountains, and he say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. That's the woman talking back to Jesus, you know. She had a questionable moral. She had a question, is a woman of questionable our ways are questionable. But this is a woman that she has been, she's in the know. You know, she's in the know. She knows certain things because she said, our father worship in this mountain. That is where they are now. That means to get up that 30, to walk that 30 miles, Jesus had crossed some mountains to get up there to that woman. Because he said, our father worship in this mountain. And you know that a mountain is high up, right? If it was something smaller, they would call it a hill. Our father worship on this hill. But mountain is show that it have a larger incline. And Jesus went up that mountain to meet with that woman of Samaria. And he's able to come up wherever you are. He's able to come to wherever you are and meet you. Whatever tickle you're in, whatever mucker or whatever condition you're in, Jesus is able to find his way there and to meet with you right there and then, you know, and to have a conversation. Yes, because in verse follow through in verse 19, she said, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. All right, the last thing that Jesus said to her was that she had five husbands, and the one that she has now is not her husband. You know, that's the last thing Jesus said. And then the woman went on to say, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And now she's no maybe. There is room for argument right there. There's room for debate right between verse 19 and verse 20. Because the woman said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And then the woman now turn and say, our father worship in this mountain. You know, is as if she's is as if she want to is as if she want to segregate herself into a different type of you know, a character. She wants to put herself, characterize herself in a different type of environment, away from what Jesus is coming from, being a Jew. You know, so she said, our father worship here. Go ahead. Yes, she said, our father worship here. So maybe she's saying then, our father, he has the is the truth. You know, our Father is the truth, and whenever worship is going on in this hill and this mountain, I've never seen you appeared. So she's trying to put herself in a religious sect or in a religious group that would cause Jesus not to have more scrutiny on her and our life. She's trying to, just like oh, you try to witness to somebody, and they will say, you know that I am a Jehovah's Witness, or I am an Anglican, or such and such. You know, yet, yes, they would tell you where they belong to. Oh, my parents go to Anglican, my parents go to Baptist, my parents, you know, they would try to hold on to a group so that you won't really come down on them hard as a ungodly person, a person that know that doesn't know Jesus. They're trying to, you know, put themselves on a pedestal that they don't belong. You know, so the woman is saying, our father worship on this mountain. And you know, the Samaritans, The Samaritans, they believe in only the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. You know, that's why she would talk about Abraham and stuff there. You know, they believe in only the first five books of the Bible. Meanwhile, the Jew, they believe in the old canon of the Old Testament. That's from Genesis all the way down to Malachi. They believe in all of that. Go straight down. You know, so the Samaritan woman was saying that our father worship on this mountain, Father Abraham. He worship on this mountain. You know, and you know that the Jew now, they would worship in Jerusalem and stuff. You know? And yes. So she said, our father worship in this mountain. And he say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. And that's the woman talking, you know. And he say, Jesus didn't say that to her, you know. But as you say, she's trying to switch the argument. And the woman say, and he say, that is, she's saying that, and Jesus say that Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Because she is very intelligent. She is in the know. Yeah, she's in the know. She knows stuff. Yeah, she said, and this mountain we worship as Samaritans. But you say that is Jerusalem is a place where you are to worship. And yes, and that's what the Jew would say. You know that the Jews were the one who got the commandments from God himself. The Jews were the one who get the ordinance from God himself, you know, through Moses. Yes. And you know that it was 10 commandments, you know, and those Jews make some division out of all those 10 commandments and turn it into over 1,000 different commandments, you know. They turn it, they spread it out wide and far. They go far with it and, you know, they go to lengths and depths with it. He said, the Sabbath day you shall not work on the Sabbath day. And if they ever catch you carrying as much as a mat, or if you have a animal that is in distress during that time, you cannot save the life of that animal. You know, because they say you're going to break that Sabbath. And if there is something that is happening on the outside, you can't go there and lift it up. Because they're going to say that you're breaking the Sabbath. You're supposed to be hands-free on the Sabbath. You're supposed to do nothing on the Sabbath. You know, so they try to extend the things so much so that they even say, if you're not worshiping in Jerusalem, then you ain't worshiping none at all. You know, and it reaches the Samaritans. And the Samaritans must have been saying they are hypocrites and stuff and whatever. You know, but this Samaritan woman, she's in the know. She said, you worship in Jerusalem. I worship here in this mountain. And hear what, verse 21, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when he shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You know, Jesus is saying, the hour cometh and now is. The hour cometh that it's not either in Jerusalem nor on this mountain worship will take place. You know, he said, your worship, in truth and in fact, this verse is saying to us that our worship should not be restricted to any particular place. Yeah, our worship should not be confined to circumstances. You know, it should not be restricted and it should not be confined, our worship. You know, if you have to wait until you reach home to worship and to pray, you're under bondage. You know, if you have to wait until you reach home for you to pray and to worship, you're still under bondage, you're in your sin. If you have to wait until you go to church for somebody to pump you up and say hallelujah, you're under bondage. You know, if it's only in church, Yes, you go forth with your worship. Wherever you are, your worship is there. You know, you should be able to sing the songs of Zion. Wherever you are, you're supposed to be able to raise an hallelujah, to sing the songs of Zion. Wherever you are, you're supposed to be able to lift your hands and praise the Lord. You're not supposed to be in bondage. And it shows bondage when you have to pinpoint a direct place and say, I cannot say a hallelujah until I reach home. I cannot say a hallelujah until I'm in church. No. So Jesus is opening up our worship so that it's not restricted to any one place, not to our circumstances. What if you never reach home? Are you not going to worship anymore because you don't reach home? Yeah, you're still going to worship wherever you are. You remember Saul and Silas? They were on their way to pray to the temple. They were going on to the temple to pray. And they meet up in problem on the way. And they catch them and put them in prison. They were on their way to the temple to pray, you know. And they catch them and put them in prison. And while in prison, if they were saying that, I'm not going to pray anymore until I reach the temple, they not have sing songs in that prison at that 12 midnight and let that mighty earthquake come and break down the prison wall and stuff. You know, they would say, we can't sing of the Lord's song in this place. We cannot sing the songs of Zion in this dungeon, in this prison. But they worship in their circumstances nonetheless. They worship in their situation. Yes, yes. So not because, we say in Jamaica, not because, but still for all. Not because of what you're going through, you should cease worship. Worship should be extended throughout your circumstances. Not because you're not where you're feeling comfortable, you should stop praising. Yes, you should praise God nonetheless, whether you're on the mountaintop or you're going through the valley, whether you're in a situation where you think you're comfortable or not, you should still praise the Lord because He's worthy of all our praise. Amen. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can still praise. Praise the Lord. You know, you don't have to say, boy, you have to go dress up and put on broad hat or whatever we are. You have to take off your cap or you have to do this or that in order to raise an hallelujah. Whether you dress or not, whether you're in the shower bathing or not, praise the Lord still, naked as the day you're born, naked to come out of your mother's womb, naked to going back. Praise the Lord, naked, same way. You know, you don't have to wait until circumstances are conducive to what you call conducive, because you're worshiping in spirit and in truth. Yeah, you're worshiping in spirit and in truth. Yes, and hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yeah. And you see, thank you, Sister Camille. Thank you. Thank you, Mommy Scott. Yes, you see, it's a form of rebellion, you know. It's a form of rebellion when we are like some spoiled children. When we don't get what we want, we get so puffed up. And we don't want to worship until we are in the good places. Yes, you know. Yes, still keep worshiping, even though it doesn't look pretty. The money might look funny. You may be broke, torn up and from the floor up, but God is good. Yes. Yes, whether or not you pass, you do whatever you do, or you interview or a subject or whatever, whether you pass or fail, worship him same way, you know, because it is the will of God concerning you. It's the will of God, you know. And then it's in your worship now that he's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you in that moment of time. You remember Ahai? You remember Ahai, that place, Ahai, when Joshua was, yes, Joshua was in command, and he sent spies to go over to look at Ahai. You remember that story in Joshua? He sent spies to go over to look. They had just defeated, they had just break down the wall of Jericho, you know, tear down Jericho wall completely. And they feel so high and mighty now. They feel so lifted up and feel so good. You know? Yeah, they feel so good. And Joshua sent spies to spy out Ahai, the place named Ahai. And when the spies go up there, the spies look and say, oh, these are nothing for us to defeat. We can defeat them. You know, we don't. Yes, this is easy walk over. We can just go in and defeat them because mighty Jericho. We tear down that wall with praise. So can you just imagine, Ahai, we're going to tear up that place in nothing and despise. Yes, they went down and tell Joshua and said, don't send everybody go up there. Just send a few of us. Just send like 300 of us and we're going to tear up the place up there. We're going to make them, we're going to tear down that place. You see, oh, right after a victory, people can become so complacent. Right after their victory, they had such a mighty victory. And right after it, now they're supposed to defeat Ahai. And they refuse. They are so spoiled that they refuse to seek God for instruction for that. And they went to, you know, that the 300 men went up to Ahai and the men of Ahai beat them to frazzle. 30 of them lose their life because of that. Out of the 300 of them, 30 of them lose their life. And the rest have to run. They have to flee. They have to run like they hear news and go back down to their camp and whatever. And when they went and they report to Joshua and Joshua saw, you know, Joshua fasted for a whole day, you know. Joshua went down with the elders in Israel for a whole day and he fasted until evening. He did not eat any food right through. He was in sackcloth and ashes, covered himself with ashes right through the day because he wanted to know why is it that they were defeated at that time with such, and they had the upper hand because they are mighty. They are the chosen people of God, but they refuse to give God the head of every situation. It's not some situation alone. Not only when we see it seems like it's impossible, we must seek God, you know. When we think that it's possible too, seek God just the same. Don't be spoiled, you know, because, yeah, just worship him just the same. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, don't be complacent because you feel that you can do it in your own strength. Because your strength, you and I's strength at best is weak. We have to depend on Jesus all the way. It's no sometimes, it's no every other day or some situation. Every situation, he said that we must commit our plans unto him and he will bring it to pass. You know, we must commit our ways, commit everything that we're doing and he will bring it to pass. We're not supposed to... go anything in our own strength. And you see what happened when after Joshua fasted for that entire day and he sought the Lord spoke to him and said, I didn't let you have the victory because there is sin in the camp. Sometimes why we don't get our victory is because there is unconfessed sin that is in our life, that is hindering us from our blessing. He said that over my ears is not deaf that I cannot hear, nor my hands short that I cannot hear, but your iniquity has separated you from me. Yeah, so it's no fault of God why you and I don't get the victory that we're needing. So don't vex, don't get angry with God. Go fix your life. Go fix yourself. Go confess your sins before God so that he can make you have the victory. Yeah, it's not him. It's you. You are the one that needs to go fix. You need to go wash. You need to go break up your folly grounds so you can have the victory. So don't be puffed up and vexed and stop praise and stop worship and stuff. The Lord spoke to Joshua and said, there's a man, there's an individual that has sinned, that has rebelled against me. Achan, there was an Achan in the camp. Achan in the camp. And you see, God knows how to single out each and every one of us. You know, he said, take them by the tribe. Tell all of Israel to go sanctify themselves. And then take them by the tribe, take them by the clan, and then take them by the family, and then take them as individual. Yeah, it take them. God give Moses instruction to take them right through and through, right until. And when Joshua met up on Achan, and Joshua looked at him and said, man, what have you done, man? What is this that you have done? You know, why did you do such a... Tell me what you have done. But you realize with Achan, Achan didn't... At that moment of reckoning, Achan remember every detail of what was happening, you know. Achan said, I sold out my soul for a coat. He said, I sold it for a coat. I sold it for 300 silver and 50 gold. Yeah, a coat, you know. He says, he see a coat that was so pretty, a coat that was so beautiful that he had to take it. And he see, along with that, he see some silver, that he needed that silver. And along with that, to top it off, he see 50 pounds, 50 shekel of gold, that he need that gold. And he sold his life. He sold out his life for that. You know, and Joshua said to the men, go down. And he told Joshua that he hid it in his tent. And exactly where. And they went down to the exact spot and find it. It was so. The way Achan told that story to Joshua was so plain and so vivid that they could find the exact place in no time. He didn't lie no bit because he was caught red-handed. But it was too late because mercy gone. Judgment has already been passed upon him by Almighty God himself. God said, when you find that one, do away with that one. You know, so no matter what, yes, no matter what he could have said, he couldn't have saved him. And you realize that he was the one who did such sin. And his whole household was vanished because of his sin. Yes, his whole soul came under judgment of Almighty God because of his sin. You know, they took them down to the valley and all of Israel population, when they left out of Egypt, was the size, the population of Jamaica back then, about 2.5 million. Jamaica population has stepped up by now. But Israel population at that, when they left out of Egypt, was like 2.5 million people. And the 2.5 million people went down to stone that family. And they build a heap of stone over them. After they kill him, they stone him. They build up the stone over him and leave him there. Leave him down there. Yes, swift judgment and stuff. You know, so we as a people of God are not supposed to be puffed up when things don't work out the way we want it. Go back to God and seek and find out what's the reason why you didn't get the victory, whether it's his plan or not. Amen. Amen. All right. As we move on, verse 22, it said, He worship he know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Yes. The salvation of the Jews. We explain why we say salvation of the Jews already. Right? Because the Samaritans, they did not know God. They did not have that relationship with God like what they did not have that full revelation of God. Thus, they could not worship God in truth and in spirit. But the Jews, on the other hand, they had a full revelation. They knew the God they worshiped because salvation truth came first to them. And we see that in Romans. We can look at that in Romans chapter 3, 1 and 2. He said, what advantage then are the Jews? Paul is giving them an advantage. He said, what advantage then? As the Jews, that's a question. Or what profit is there of circumcision? In much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. That's the command of God. They get it full blown. They get it full. They get everything full blown. Amen. And Jesus, and verse 23, Jesus said, but the hour cometh and now is. Is the second time Jesus said that? No, first he said it overcometh. But Jesus said in verse 23, and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Amen. Yes, Father seeketh. Jesus is saying, in the light of his coming as Messiah and Savior, worshippers will be identified not by a particular religion or a location, but by their worship of the Father through the Son. So true worshippers is not by a particular religion nor location that true worshippers are picked from, but is those that worship the Father through the Son. So don't tell me that is only my church, which is Victorious Life Church of God. Don't tell me that is only you have to come to my church to go to heaven. Don't tell me that you have to go to Victory Open Bible in Jamaica, the church that I got saved. Don't tell me that I have to go there to get saved. Don't tell me that I have to go Jesus only to get saved or whatever. You know, as long as their worship is in spirit and in truth. Your worship is in spirit. Those are the people that God is taking out. The ones that worship in him in spirit and in truth. So it's no religion barrier that separates us from our worship. The religion thing is man form the religion. Different religions and stuff. And it comes with a lot of rules and regulation. Man-made rules and regulation set up these religions. And stuff. Anglican, Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, Open Bible, all the religion, you know, is the ones that work. And not because you go to one of these churches it doesn't mean you guarantee a place in heaven. Your worship have to be coming straight from the heart. You have to worship in him, learn to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not because you come from a specific sect of people or a specific sect of religion. You know, it's an individual thing. It's an individual, not because you come from a lineage of Christian people, not because your parents or your foreparents were Christians, that don't give a lot and part in the kingdom of God. It's an individual calling that we're under. It is a one order. Yes, it's a one order thing that we are called into now. You know, those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Yes, so you could be listening the best messages. You could be hearing the best sermons. But if you're not of them that worship, that is worship in spirit and in truth. Yes, if you're not, yes, you will not be one of the called out. It's an individual calling that we're under. And we have to appreciate that as people of God so we can move forward. You know, we have to learn that. That is an individual declaration of faith. Individually. Amen. All right, we are 2 minutes. We are 2 minutes to nine. I thought that I would finish this chapter of the Samaritan woman. You know, because the best part of it yet is still yet to come. But I, God's willing, next week. Yes, God willing, next week I'll pick up from there if it's okay with you. Is it all right with you to pick up from there next week? God's willing. Yes. So we'll pick up from where we left off next week. And yes. So did you enjoy the studies tonight? Did we learn anything? Anything to share? Amen. Amen. Anything you want to share? Floor is open. Yes. Anyone, anything to share? Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes, we cannot exhaust it. Yes, we cannot exhaust the scriptures. It has been in effect for a very long time. Preach every Sunday, preach every day. It's lived every day, and we cannot exhaust it. We get new enlightenment, new refreshing from it. Every time we take up the word, you know, even if you're so familiar with it, even if you're a Bible scholar, you know, every time you take it up, there is something more coming from that scripture. Yes, because what I'm getting from the scripture now, what I'm getting from this portion now as I study it, as I go in depth in it, not in depth, but just surface deep, because there is deeper to go. God, you're going to hear somebody with something else on it some other time. You know, it's really enlightened me, because what I knew then, you know, I know something different now. And isn't the same context, you know. And it does go to show how deep the word of God is. It goes very deep. You know, it's able to transform even the vilest of sinners. Is the word that was spoken in Genesis that spoke this world into being. Yes. It's the very word. You know? Yes. So we appreciate it, and we appreciate you all coming on. Without you, this Bible study wouldn't be possible. We really appreciate you all. Amen. Yes, Sister Lyria. Amen. Amen. Yes, to God be the glory. Yes, I think I saw you in the car there. Yes. Yes, anywhere you are, my sister. If, yeah. Yes, if you restrict yourself. Yes. 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 Yes, man. Sometimes when you begin to